Ask somebody, are you with your Bible and your book? Check if everybody is with his Bible and book. We are serious here and we take things seriously. Thank you, Father. We are serious here. We take things seriously. Amen, amen. Rejoice. Thank God you are rejoicing today, unlike Sunday. Brother Josh, well done, well done. My companion on Facebook. your data never sleeps nor slumber. I think I have to borrow your own. Hebrews chapter 10, everybody. Please, at times, if you just notice that the things that we teach in Bible study are maybe looks deep or looks somehow. See, it's not. It simply means you need to pay more attention and ask questions. Like I said, it simply means you need to pay more attention and ask questions. That's why I said, you pray that you should see yourself as who you are. You are a man that can comprehend. You are a man with the Spirit of God. Every man with the Spirit of God can comprehend the things of God. Amen? Say, I have the Spirit of God. I can comprehend the fullness of God. Yes, of course, you can say that perhaps I started from a place that is a bit higher than the rest. But don't worry, you will comprehend, you will flow. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. Hebrews chapter 10, everybody. You say, am I still on this thing? Hebrews 10. I have less than an hour and a half, so I'll be patient. But please, open your Bible as quick as you can. Hebrews 10, 26. So today I call it, it's still on the same series, I call it engaging unbelief. Like engaging unbelief. How do you engage unbelief? Engaging unbelief. Hebrews 10, 26. I read from here. It says, for if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin, but a certain fearful looking for judgment and fiery indignation, we shall devour the adversary. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Verse 29, of how much sore punishment, suppose ye shall be thought worthy of, who are trodden under the foot the Son of God, and had counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and has done despite unto the Spirit of grace. I will take verse 29 again for clarity. Of how much sore punishment, suppose ye shall be thought worthy of, who has trodden down the foot the Son of God, and had counted the blood of the covenant that sanctifies. The blood that sanctifies an holy thing and has done despite unto the Spirit of grace. So we saw clearly here that the unbeliever is counting the blood by which Jesus sanctifies as an unholy thing. Remember last Sunday? Do you remember? You know the first time I explained it with the covenant. And if you are here on Sunday and I explained that, okay, who are the new covenant? I mean, what is the meaning of the new covenant? If we are saying the blood sanctified the new covenant, what does that imply? Amen. That means he sanctified you and me. Praise God. So, but he didn't sanctify the unbeliever. Amen. He sanctified the people who have been called into the fold. So, the blood is a tool of Jesus. The blood is a tool of the sanctification that Jesus does. So, the unbeliever, what is he doing? What is he doing? He is discarding, he is despising the instrument of Jesus. Amen, amen. That means he is despising the instrument of Jesus. He is despising what Jesus uses to sanctify people. Do you understand? Just like if you are a federal government worker and federal government says we use First Bank in this place. If you don't use First Bank, we don't pay you. And you are saying no, I love GT Bank. See, you won't be paid. Federal government says First Bank, and Jesus says I save with my blood, I redeem with my blood. And somebody is saying that blood means nothing to me. So the tool of Jesus' sanctification, that man is saying, is counting it as nothing. Okay, so today I want to go a step further, like something very practical, not just something very, because I trust God that, see, we are here, like I was thinking as I was driving down there. See, this place is now very interior. This is our church. It's very interior. In fact, we don't have three churches in this environment alone. So a lot is actually upon us to go to the street to preach. So, or else we will always be here for the rest of our life. Amen. Sorry for that. Amen. So that means we are going to go out. And as we go out, we encounter stuffs. Amen, amen, amen. But say, I am well able. Say, I am well able. Hebrews 10:26. Now, if you remember that, the way I explained Hebrews 10, that is, look at verse 28. He said, he that despised. Please take, pay attention to these words. Like, we don't just see it as Bible study. Don't ensure you are not missing each sentence I'm saying. He that despised. To despise there is a Greek word, atetio. I said this last on Sunday. It means to frustrate, to disannul, to thwart the efficacy of a thing. Atetio, to disannul. That means you want to thwart the efficacy of something. Say, he that despises Moses' law. So also, if you look down to verse 29, that word there, and has done despite unto the spirit of grace, it means to insult the spirit of grace. And I show you on Sunday that you don't do this thing quietly. These things are not done, I'm still thinking, I'm still deciding. No, it's an active stuff. Amen, amen. It's something that, like, it's not just a mental thinking. It's a thinking that is being followed up by actions. Numbers 13. Am I too fast today or not on Sunday? Am I too fast right now? Say no. Just say no. Amen, amen. Numbers 13:32. Can we read together? Numbers 13:32. One to go. And they brought up an evil report of the land. Again, let's read again, 32. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that saw it. I mean, great stature. Okay, yeah. So, I'm focusing on this word there. Say, and they brought up an evil report. Actually, I checked the Hebrew word of that word, evil report. It means they brought up slanders. Slanders. Who knows the meaning of slander? Yeah? Slander. Anybody? Tell me. Slander. Talk now. So I can speak Yoruba or speak Kogi language or anyone that you understand. Pastor Ezekiel, what is the meaning of slander? Jesus. Yeah, bros. What do you want to slander? If it's just something that is not true, that would be a lie. What if I call it slander? Sir? To come against. That means you use that information to what? Come against. Number one is a lie. But you didn't just tell the lie. You are using the lie to an intent. Amen? But there's a difference between telling lie against somebody's wife and telling lies so that you can collect somebody's wife. You know it's different. Amen, amen. Amen. Praise God. So that was what they brought up, an evil report. And these are the people that you and I are going to contend with. Because you are a minister of the New Testament. Okay. Write this down. When unbelief now becomes a movement. When unbelief now becomes a movement, it's called preaching false doctrine. When unbelief, that means there is difference between you can believe something contrary and you remain in your house. But when you now take it to the street, you take it to the church, that is the meaning of false doctrines. Are you with me? Okay, thank you, sirs. Okay, now, I checked through the scriptures and see, this is just to help you. When you see the word doctrines with S, doctrines in the scripture, it means false. It means things that are not true. Things that are against the doctrine of Christ. I'll just give you five examples. Matthew 15, be fast. Matthew 15, verse 9. as fast as the Holy Ghost is telling me, I'm still slow. Matthew 15 verse 9. I mean, compared to Sunday. Are you there? Are you there? I need you to open your Bible. Matthew 15 verse 9. Can we take it together? Everybody, one, two, go. But in vain do they worship me, teaching for the doctrine there, is it plural or singular? Okay, Matthew 7, 7. Be fast. Just write it on the scripture and you open. Matthew 7, 7. Please, we are still going to 2 Peter chapter 2 today. So, Matthew 7, 7. That's Acts shall be given unto you. Mark 7, 7, rather. Mark 7, 7. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Mark 7, verse 7. Yeah. Let's take it together. Mark 7, 7. One, two, go. Howbeit, in vain do they worship me. Teaching for? Okay. Rush to Colossians 2. Colossians 2, 22. I need everybody to pay attention, please. No distractions. Colossians 2:22. Colossians 2:22. Okay, let me read from verse 20. You read 22 for me. Wherefore, if you be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinances? Touch not, taste not, and do not. Verse 22, want to go? Doctrine singular or plural? You can see that all the plural doctrines is referring to rubbish. 1 Timothy 4 verse 1. 1 Timothy 4 verse 1. Ensure you are opening. The danger some people do, what some people do to themselves is that when they seem like not to understand something, they just back down. You keep opening, you keep reading. That is how to grow. No shortcuts. There is no anointing for growth. You will study. You will open your Bible. 1 Timothy 4 verse 1. One to go. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving it to seducing spirit and doctrines. Hebrews 13 verse 9. Hebrews 13 verse 9. Are you there? Glory to God. I love this. Can we take it together? One to go, everybody. Be not carried away about with diverse and strange doctrines. For it is good that the earth be established with, not with meat, which have not profited them that. So what is the opposite of false doctrines? Look at that scripture again, everybody. Don't talk yet. What is the opposite of false doctrines? Grace. So anything that does not talk about God's riches at Christ's expense, according to Pastor W.F. Kumuyi, what is that? False doctrines. Once something is not in accordance with grace, that means, what is grace? Something freely done for you. Amen? So once it's not in accordance with grace, what is it? False doctrine. He said, don't be carried away with false doctrine, but it is good that the heart should be established in grace. My God. I wish I can talk more on that. It is good that your heart be settled in what Jesus has done for you. And not be carried away up and down. Today, what we are fighting is attachment. Next tomorrow, what we are fighting is lip gloss. Next tomorrow, what we fight is a trouser. Next, when are we going to be free? Be established in grace. Say, I'm established. Hallelujah. 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 13. So, although there are very few places that doctrine used in singular refers to false doctrine. Just very few places. But let's just look at this and this other two. 1 Timothy 4 verse 13. But after today, you will know how to undo people. When people say anything, you know how to undo them. 1 Timothy 4 verse 13. Everybody, want to go? Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. See what I mean? Say the doctrine of our Lord Jesus Christ is singular and is grace. It's singular. It's one thing. We don't say two things. It's not that we say this today, we say this tomorrow, we say this next tomorrow. Today God loves you, tomorrow God hates you, next tomorrow God is still thinking if he should love you or hate you, next tomorrow God is angry with you, next tomorrow. No, a God that is so unpredictable. That is not the God we have in Christianity. Amen, amen. Mark, is it Mark? Just go to number 13, everybody. Number 13. Number 13. So I now ask this question. How does it translate into false doctrine? Like, what is the bridge? Because the way we address people who are just in their acts, who are still having issues with some of the things we preach, is different from the way we address the people who are taking it as a movement. You remember? I said false doctrine is when unbelief stops being about you. It's not a movement. So how does it metamorphose? How does it translate? Numbers 13. Are you there? 1 to 2. Let me show you something here. I know I've said this, but let me just solidify the point. Numbers 13, 1 to 2. I read there. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man, every one a ruler among them. Who sends the spies? Hello? Who sent the spies? God told Moses, right? Please, I need you to be looking at your Bible. Eh? If I see you, don't be distracted. The babies, they are doing their own duty. Do your own duty. Your own duty is to listen. Amen, amen. Okay, so who sent the spies? Moses, right? Who sent Moses? God. Let me ask you this question. If Moses sent you a message, who do you report back to? Okay, now let's now, who these guys report to? Numbers 13:26. Numbers 13:26. Okay, and they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to, again, let's read it again. And they came again to what? They came to Moses, they came to Aaron and to, is it all the congregation of Israel that sent them? Are you with me? Who sent them? Moses. Praise God. So, I wrote it this way. When it's no longer personal, now that thing that you believe, that rubbish that the man believes, is no longer personal. Now he wish to communicate it all around. Then something is fishing. See, there's a difference between somebody that just believes in his others. Jesus is not God now. How can somebody be born without? How can somebody died? Whatever, I beg Jerry. And when somebody is pick the microphone and he's saying it, it's different. We see it very soon. Now, the same, go to Matthew 12. Mm-hmm. Matthew 12. Oh, sorry, before Matthew 12. I know the same, Numbers 13. Numbers 13. We are looking at how does unbelief translate into false doctrine. Numbers 13, 32 to 33. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched on the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. 32. Did they actually see that? Hello? Are you with me? Did they see a land that was eating up people? I mean, okay, let me say, could they have seen that? At least did the land swallow them up? They came back alive. Do you understand what I'm saying? So they said the land that they saw is the land that is eating all people. Now see 33. And there we saw the giant, the son of the Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. So we were in their sight. Amen, amen. Amen, amen. So when When unbelief now contains imported lies, that's why I call it imported lies. That's false doctrine. That means you went extra mile from what you are being sent. You now went to import ideas. Where did they see grasshopper? Where did they see a land that is eating all people? Are you with me? That means when somebody is not staying true to text, I didn't know the issue of people. You will simply quote a scripture to people, like I was quoting, putting on Facebook today, I said, confession of sin is not in the New Testament. It's not taught anywhere there. And somebody will say, what if somebody commits fornication? And you, is that part of what we are saying? Imported ideas. Hallelujah. Yes, I said, go to Matthew 12. See something here. Say, I will stay true. I will stay true. I will stay lonely with the scriptures. It's enough. We don't need too much. You are looking for the lost book of Moses, lost book of Aaron, the book of Baruch, the book of what is all those rubbish. Matthew 12. This is a long read. Matthew 12. We take it together. I will read 31. You read 32 for me. Wherefore I say unto you, before then, look at verse 27. Better still, 24. Numbers 12, verse 24. Let's take 24 together. Want to go? But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of devils. Did they see that? That means they looked at him. They don't know what else to say. They don't know how else to bring him down. And they cooked up something. That is, I've told you two things. Number one, I said when it's no longer personal. Number two, when it contains imported lies. Number three, when it now becomes authoritative. Acts chapter 15. When it becomes authoritative. You understand why I'm going through all this before we... Acts 15. Verse 1. Let's take this together. Acts 15, verse 1. Everybody together, 1, 2, go. And certain men. Oh, somebody is not there. You open as fast as you can. In this place, I allow e-Bible, but the e-Bible must be, the data must be off. Amen. And that WhatsApp is popping up somewhere, and that one is popping up somewhere. Amen. Yeah. Are you with me? I said, Acts 15 verse 1. 1, 2, go everybody. And certain wish and said, except you be circumcised, you cannot. Strong words. Authoritative. You know, do you understand right now why? You know, if you read verse 2, what happened? When therefore Paul and Barnabas add no small. So what is more of a dissension there? What's another translation? Be fast, brother Josh. That is why you are here. They argued. Why? You are being authoritative. That means if somebody is just saying something, it's cooler. But when you say one of the criteria of entry heaven is water baptism, that's different. We now undo you. Very well. So, point one, how do you recognize false doctrine? It's no longer personal. Now you are saying it. Number two, imported lies, imported ideas. Number three, so when these three stops, number one, unbelief is wrong, is something wrong already. But when that's something wrong, it's no longer personal to you. Okay, let me just continue so that we can. Now, you can write this down like this. False doctrine is unbelief in motion. False doctrines, please put that S, please. False doctrines is when unbelief is where? Is in motion. When unbelief is on microphone. When unbelief is on the internet. When unbelief is on the media. Is on the radio. Is transferred. It's circulating. Okay, and now you see, I say classification of false doctrines. Let me give you two classes quickly. I mean, these are not actually things for big men of God, though. They are basis. You see the reason later why they are basis. I say classification of unbelief / false doctrine. Just two parts that we can classify them to. I mean, the preachers. Number one, when there is an outright denier of salvation, outright denier of Jesus, or outright rejection of salvation. Hebrews 2, 1 to 3. Do you remember that? Hebrews 2, 1 to 3. Hebrews chapter 2. When there is an outright rejection of salvation, that is, he said, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them sleep. For if we did what spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience receive a just recompense of reward. Verse 3, how shall we escape if we what? Neglect so great salvation. Now, quickly follow me to Acts 13. Acts 13. See this. Someone will explain it better to you. Acts 13, verse 43. Your hand must be flying. You are writing, you are opening. Acts 13, 43. Okay, let me read. I'll read 33 and 34. I'll read 43 and 44. You read 45 for me. Now, when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed after Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. 45, want to go? Saw the multitude. They were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken of by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. 46, yes. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. But seeing you put it from you, and judge yourself unworthy of everlasting life, we turn to the Gentiles. Strong words. That means you can see there was a strong opposition and there was a strong reaction. Can you see it there? It was both strong. So these guys actually clearly here, they rejected salvation. Number two, I call it saved, but propagating false teachings. And you know that one is the main issue. People who are actually born again. We can't deny that they are not born again. Amen. But they are filled with lies. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Follow me. 1 Timothy chapter 1. That, don't worry, that Acts 13. We look at it again. Not on Sunday. Sometimes later in Bible study. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3. Oh, brother Timothy, where are you? Oh, here you are. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3 to 7. I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went to Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach what? Verse 4, neither give ye to fables and endless genealogies, which ministers question, rather than godly edifying, which is in faith. 5, now the end of the commandments is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience, of faith unfeigned, from which some have turned aside into vain janglings. Verse 7, everybody, desiring to be teachers. Again, verse 7, everybody. For the last time, verse 7, understanding neither what they say. My God. That's strong. E.g., do you know the implication of saying that, how can you say the law of Moses is abolished? The law is not abolished. Oh, we still have to keep the law. Do they know the implication? That place said, understanding, not understanding what they say.
They are desiring to be teachers of the law. Okay, unless not, you have to accept, you be circumcised and you keep the law of Moses, you cannot be saved. Do they know the meaning? Let me show you the meaning. Galatians 3. Open your Bible, don't get tired. You are writing. If you are not opening your Bible, you are writing. You have very little time to look at me. I am the same yesterday, today, and I don't know. Amen, 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 amen. Galatians 3. Ooh, glory, glory, glory. Galatians 3. If you want somebody just saying yes now, can we see what the law itself said? Galatians 3, verse 10 and 11. We are going to read this together. Are you all there? I'm waiting for you. Galatians 3, 10 and 11. 1, 2, go. For as many as are under, for this written, cause is everyone that continues not in all. Wait, that means if you miss all, you are in trouble. If you miss one out of everything, you are in trouble. Which are written in the book of the law to do them. Verse 11, yes? Again. For the last time, but that no man is justified in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall come alive by faith. Is that clear? So, they don't understand what they are saying. Desiring to be teachers of the law. Now, I now go to the main topic. How do we engage unbelief? I'll first give you like 3 bullet points. How do we engage unbelief? Number one, just write this down. I said, be intelligent to recognize the source. Or be intelligent to recognize the actual deceiver. Write that down. Be intelligent to identify the source or the actual deceiver. Number two, isolate the deceiver or deceivers from the deceived. Or from the deceiving. Call it anyhow. So after you have recognized the deceiver, what do you do? Isolate. What is meant by isolate? Separate. Number three. Oppose the deceiver, but teach the deceived. Okay, let's start now. Acts 19. We're just starting Bible study. Acts 19. Ooh. Thirty minutes gone already. Acts 19, verse 1-10. And it came to pass while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, finding certain disciples. He said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard if there is anything called Holy Ghost. Imagine, funny people, and they're in church, they are gathering, they are clapping hands. They are clapping hands. You find them singing, there is something that makes me come into your presence. You find them singing, give me an example now. You sang it before, all of you. All we like sheep have gone astray. And see the problem. That's why I told you. I said shadows is as useful with us. How do I say it? The usefulness of a shadow is because there's no reality. Do you understand? Imagine, okay, before I got married to my wife, I have a picture. A picture is on my phone. Every day I look at the picture. Hi, fine girl. Hey, Jesus, fine girl. And I should not marry her. She's at home. She sat down there. I just pick phone. Ha, fine girl. I left her. Fine girl. Hi, which day will I have you now? Fine girl. Amen, amen, amen. Why are you laughing? Praise God, praise God.
So you see, shadow is a very, because see why I'm saying that? Verse 3. And he said unto them, unto what then were you baptized? And they said, unto what? Imagine. John did not allow him to see Jesus. John is to show Jesus to them. John is not the bridegroom. He said, I must decrease, he must increase. Remember? Okay. Let's leave that before I preach what I want to preach on Facebook here. Now, verse 4. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him, we should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. Verse 5, when they had heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Verse 6, and when Paul had laid his hand upon them, the Holy Ghost came up on them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Amen? Say after me, say, the Holy Ghost is not given by laying of hands. Say, when we lay hands, we communicate power. Exactly. That's not my topic, so let me just mention that. Okay, let's flow. Verse 7. And all the men were about 12. Just 12 people. There are just 12 people here. Verse 8. Love it. Focus. What are you looking at? Verse 8. And when? How many months? 3 months. Now, what is this doing? Disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. Verse 9. But when divers were adding, wait, you see the progression. It doesn't stop at just being adding. Number one, what happened? They were adding and believed, but what? Look at the Bible. So they were first adding. Number two, they expressed their unbelief. Number three, what? They spoke. Okay, they spoke. Where are we? Verse 9. Before the multitude, he departed from them. And what? Disputing daily in the school of one. Stop. When, after he separated the disciples, why was he still disputing? Because some of the disciples were already affected by the actual deceivers. So, you separate the deceived from the deceiver. The deceived, you now give them sufficient evidence. For 3 months, he was doing that, disputing daily. Oh, see? Verse 10. Wow. And this continued by the space of how much? Yes. You know what a single wrong doctrine can do? It can be terrible. 2 years. 2 years. My God. So that, but what is not the result? All that dwell in Asia. And next thing is you see God working special miracles by the hand of Paul. He overcame. Saw the wisdom. He didn't. That is why we usually have groups. See, I don't know if you are here. You run a WhatsApp group for the gospel. Don't mix everybody there. Oh, they will kill you. I think I posted it sometimes ago on Facebook. I said, WhatsApp group is a very terrible place to preach salvation. Ah! Before you say Jesus is Lord, they have put daily manna. Before you are still quoting, before you know what is happening, they have... No, they don't mention that. Don't worry, what you are saying is not entering the microphone. Galatians 1. Galatians 1, 7 to 9. So, I think, when last did I use a method like that? Like, you went out on evangelism, and you are talking to 5 people, and you saw that 4 people were patient. One kept asking questions. That is why it's true to always go 2 by 2. What do you do? Just tell one of you to take that guy aside. Go and be fighting him somewhere. The 4 that were listening, what do you do? Before he comes back, armor them with the Holy Ghost. Before that one came back, the job is done. Is that clear? Okay, I said Galatians 1, 7 to 9.
And marvel, verse 6, that you are so removed from him that called you unto the grace of Christ, unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and will pervert the gospel of Christ. Verse 8, everybody, want to go, everybody? But though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Sorry, can I say something intelligently here? Don't quote me wrong, though. That means, in the book of Revelation, if an angel said something and is against, let's leave that. Amen. Praise God. Okay, let me use maybe the example that you easily be. You say Revelation is part of the scriptures, right? But in Nigeria, it's called Revelations. Ifion in Yoruba, visions. Amen. Visions. So every vision needed what? Interpretation. Simple. That's just what the people are missing. It needed and a vision, for a vision to be literal, it will take a while. At least a few days ago, I saw in a dream that two crocodiles jump and ate somebody's leg. And actually, it made something else. I mean, just a few days ago. Are you with me? Yeah, see verse. No, as if I didn't know if this is a repetition by his translator. So he said it again, verse 9. Want to go, verse 9? As we have said before, so I now say again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you, that which. No, some people in an attempt to justify, to say, well, Peter and Paul and Peter, they are of the same carcass, so you can't really speak, you understand, like, Paul and Peter now, they are like ministry mates in code, so they can talk to themselves. You know, if you want to take that one like that, it fails this scripture. This one says, if any man, your senior, your junior, G.O., bishop, father, mother, your husband, not me. Amen, amen. Praise God. He said, if anyone, Galatians chapter 2, verse 11. Galatians 2, verse 11. Yes, are you there? He said, but when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face. Withstood him means I opposed him to the face because he was to be blamed. I'm not going to that. Let's leave the rest. Galatians 5, 12. Galatians 5, 12. I just read Galatians 2, 11. Now I'm going to Galatians 5, verse 12. No, my babies usually give me time up, so I have to be fast. Galatians 5 verse 12. Are you there? Everybody want to go? I wound that they were even. So that is where we end later anyway. Because of the gospel. Because of the nature of the gospel, preachers of false doctrine are actually handled like the devil. Why? Because they are actually working for him. Ignorantly or unconsciously. Whether consciously or ignorantly, that is not the issue. But because of the repercussion of what they are doing, what do you do? How many of you watch 24? Watch 24. They watch season 6. Like, which season is there? That somebody was carrying a virus unknowingly. Depends on his innocence. He doesn't know he's a carrier. And the guy would have entered the town and the thing would have just gone all bloom in the town. But they pursued him like a criminal. Not because it's not about if he's, e.g., you are driving, e.g., you don't know that there are kids there, and you are rushing down this way at 100 kilometers per hour, and somebody, kids are there, and somebody just, perhaps put a speed bump or those nails on your car, thing went off road. I'm ignorant now. No, you don't know. But you don't know doesn't mean you are right. Okay. Let's proceed. So in the proclamation of the gospel, we have three people. Number one, we have the believers. Who is the preacher? Number two, we have the people who are yet to believe. Number one, I say in the proclamation of the gospel, I say we have three people. We have the believer who is the preacher. Number two, I say we have those who are yet to believe. And number three, we have the perpetrators of false doctrine. So I wrote something down here. I said, first brethren, either believers or unbelievers must be opposed. See, go to Jude chapter 1. Jude 1. Be fast. The same set of people that Peter was reproving in 2 Peter chapter 2. See it in Jude 1. Are you in Jude 1? I will tell you the reason very soon. Eh? Jude 1 verse 5. Said, I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord haven't saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroy them that what? Okay, read verse 6 for me. I read verse 7. Yes. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities abhorred them in like manner, giving themselves out to fornication and going after strange flesh, as set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Stop. Who remember the story of Sodom and Gomorrah? Everybody remembered, right? Why were they destroyed? That was too fast. Why were they destroyed? Was it because of what they did? There was sin. Judgment was coming. God sent what? Two angels. Hey. And in fact, even before they even got there, like God, there were two bridges that would have saved Sodom and Gomorrah. Number one, Abraham. Remember? He told Abraham, if you find, the only issue of Abraham is that he didn't tell God that, what if I find one? He thought God is already angry. When he said five, the God will say, five, I want to kill these people. No, hallelujah. God says, it's not my will that any of this one should perish. So, I just show you that. Where are we? Verse what? Verse 8 now. Likewise, also these filthy dreamers defy the flesh, despise dominions, speak evil of dignitaries. Yet Michael, the archangel, when contending with the devil, disputed about the body of Moses, does not bring up against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. Verse 10, everybody, yes, read. Okay, come down to verse 16. Verse 16. I'll read verse 16, you read 17 for me. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts, and their mouth speaking great swelling words. Often men speak sins in admiration because of advantage. 17, yes, everybody? How that they told you that there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. Verse 19. So everybody was talking about sins. Were they born again? No. Hold on. 1 John chapter 2. See the way John puts his own. 1 John 2, verse 18. 1 John is just after Peter's. 1 John 2:18. Little children, it is the last time you have heard that the Antichrist shall come. Even now are there many antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. Everybody, look at your Bible. Verse 19, they went out from us. 19, everybody. They went out from us, but they were not of us. If they have been of us, they will no doubt have continued with us. That we are not of us. Sorry, who did not understand that place? Just lift up your hands. It's Bible study. Be free, oh. That place, that verse. Why did they later turn aside and start preaching rubbish because they were never of us initially. You will see, he explained it further, verse 22. He said, who is a liar? But he that denied that Jesus is the Christ is the Antichrist that denied the Father and the Son. Whosoever denied the Son, the same hath not the Father. But he that acknowledged the Son hath the Father also. Let that therefore abide in you which you have heard from the beginning. If that which you have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, you shall also continue in the Son and in the Father. I love that. That means, if you truly believe, you will continue. 25. And this is the promise that he had promised us, eternal life. 26. Can you see? He was talking about those who seduced them. So can will that one help you to understand 1 John 1, 9 better now? 1 John 1, 9, if you confess. Okay, anyway, we are not talking about sins right now. So, but I now wrote down. I said there are three possibilities. Now, if you look at the account of 2 Peter, it looked like he was talking to who? Believers that went back, right? If you look at Jude 1, it was obvious. These people have not the Spirit. If you look at 1 John chapter 2, it was obvious that these people, they went out of us because they were never of us in the first place. Now, there are two or three possibilities. Number one, write it down. It's possible they pretended to believe initially, but never believed. Amen? You know, some people come to church because the church is fine. Some people come to church because the church is just a nice place, cool place, I can get a wife here. But some people go to church because it's a normal social thing. If you don't go to church, you go to mosques. So, have you ever seen, maybe somebody was given a special number before, just singing like Mariah Carey, singing, and Pastor just said, wow, what a nice voice. Please, choir master, that is your new disciple. And sure, she joins the choir. Have you not seen something like that before? I've seen a lot. Amen. Praise God. Without even confirming if she was just coming from a juju hall or something. Number two. this is strange, though. They once truly believe, but forsook the right doctrine. I say it's possible that these guys once truly believe, but forsook the right doctrine. But I will now explain details for you right now. Please, what I'm about to say, please never forget. Just never forget. In doctrinal matters, there must be two clear facts. Number one, only God knows who truly believes. Write that down. Only God knows who truly believes. Number two, this is the main point. We, Christians, believers, we only know true believers by what they say. Don't forget this. We only know the authentic ones by the things they say. Exactly. Romans 10. If you will believe in your heart, that believing, will you see it? But what? Confess with your mouth. Which one will you see? The confession. So as far as man is concerned, how will you know a believer? What he say. So even if this guy was, now listening to me, if I knew that a man was a believer, maybe Brother Joshua right now, we preach together, we do everything together. And later he became an imam. Amen? He was wearing hijab. For the sake of doctrine, I will not relate to him like a believer. What will I assume? He never believed. Do you understand? That means, I will show you something. 2 Timothy chapter 3.
Now, like I'm saying, inwardly, I will know that Joshua did not lose his salvation. But for the sake of doctrine, what will I say? He's not a believer. Why? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Is that clear? So, 2 Peter chapter 2. It's anybody just trying to use that. You say, if you want to understand salvation, Peter himself, he recommended Paul. Remember? 2 Peter chapter 2 was an address. How to address whoever is perpetrating false doctrine. You don't address them like believers. Whether they are now the one that preached the gospel to you, it's immaterial. You don't address them like believers. You oppose them like the devil. Okay, now, let's flow. I said 2 Timothy chapter 3. Now, I will give three last admonitions, then we start to pray. Are you with me, somebody? Are you with me? Are you learning something? It's Bible study. Okay, we are going to read the whole chapter together. So, I will take verse 1, you take verse 2, until we are done. This, know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. Verse 2. Without natural affection, trust breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despiser of those that are good. Yes, verse 4. Verse 5. Having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Verse 5 and 6. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Verse 8. Verse 9. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be made manifest unto all men, as there also was. Verse 10. Persecutions, afflictions which came unto me at Antioch, in Iconium, Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Verse 12. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Verse 14. And that from a child, thou hast known the holy scriptures, which is able to make you wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. 16 and 17, want to go? So according to the context of that chapter, why was 2 Timothy 3:16 written there? Hello? Yeah? Free now. Why is it written there? All scripture is given for evidence, for reproof, for correction. Why all those stuffs? Because of where we are coming from. Where are we coming from? What was he talking about from verse 1 to verse 14? So why must you be strong? What is, like, of course, I know it's scripture is for our personal edification, but from that chapter, why must you be strong with the scripture? Because of false doctrines. Now, what is in verse 15? Yes. Again, wise unto what? Wise unto what? So to be strong in the doctrine of Christ, you have to be what? Wise unto salvation. That means you must understand salvation. That means you must what? Understand salvation. So, like, I'm giving you last three admonitions. Number one, I say, be strong on the word yourself. Before you just go out and say you want to speak against anybody or speak against, pick in evangelism, talk, you have to be strong. He said all scripture is given for an evidence. You have to be strong. You have to be strong. Number two, pray. Say pray. Say pray. Pray. Because think about it. Do you know, maybe say in the old, according to our movie, Ultimate Power, Agbaranla, you know, as if you want to go and preach the gospel, there should appear to you one black demon with a black calabash on the left hand and red one. You're talking about, you didn't watch that movie? Who watched Ultimate Power here? Agbaranla. What's the name of that guy? Ologun Chodudu. Oh, Jesus. You are following my hand. Okay, so if you want to go and preach the gospel somewhere, you should see one guy with two calabash trying to oppose you. You don't go. You can't go. But you know, today we are not seeing stuff like that, Abi? You saw one last week? Okay, you didn't see Abi? But that means the devil is relaxing. He's sleeping. I'm asking? The devil is relaxing. He's sleeping. Okay, oh, there's no devil again. Oh, MFM has killed him. He has truly died. Fall down and die. The devil is dead. Amen, amen, amen. Why do we pray? We pray because false doctrine is actually the weapon of the devil. 2 Corinthians 4. Bros, play keyboard for me in the next 3 minutes, like that. 3 minutes. 2 Corinthians 4. I think I will be picking you from your house every service now. So that you'll be coming past 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Are you with me? Verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that were lost. Verse 4. Hey! Everybody, be on your feet. Be on your feet. When I say read the scripture, I'm very serious with scripture. Be on your feet, everybody. Be on your feet. Second Corinthians 4. I'll read verse 3. You read verse 4 for me. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Verse 4. Second Thessalonians chapter 3. Verse 1. Are you there? Stay in one place. Don't pray. We are not here praying. Stay in one place. M-O-G. Second Thessalonians chapter 3. Are you there? Verse 1. Can we take it together? Everybody. 1, 2, go. Fellow brethren, pray for us, that the word of the Lord may have a free course and be glorified. Okay, have your seat, everybody. Have your seat. Ross, play keyboard for me. I'm about closing. Oh, just two more scriptures and we'll be done. Hebrews chapter 10. So, what are the two things I said you must do? Number one, you have to be strong on the word, right? Number two, what do you do? You pray. Unbelief demands prayer. You just see people that what they are believe all their lives was fall down and die. See, it's not natural. The demon that they are trying to kill is actually in them. Is the demon that is telling them to be falling, to be telling other demons to be falling down and die? Why must we do this with our vehicle? I'll show you. Just two more scriptures and I close. Hebrews 10. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Hebrews 10, 12 to 13. Hebrews 10, are you there?
verse 12 says, but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. What is he doing, verse 13? Now, I didn't hear everybody's voice. So, we are going to read together, 12 and 13, together, one to go, everybody. But this woman, after he has offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. 13, what is he doing? Now, so, Jesus sat down. That means Jesus did a perfect work. Romans 16. Everybody. See something here. What was Jesus expecting till his enemies be made his footstool? He did one job, offered one sacrifice for sin for how long? Forever. But now he's expecting that what? For his enemies be made his footstool. So see what now happened. Romans 16, verse 17. Can we take 17 together? One, two, go. Now I beseech you, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. Let me read 18 and 19. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own what? Their own what? And by good words. Some people know that. Some people are saying, I'm not speaking Queen's English. I'm speaking Yoruba English. And by good words and fierce speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. For your obedience is come abroad unto all men, and I am glad therefore on your behalf. But yet I won't have you wise unto that which is good, and simple concerning evil. Verse 20. Everybody want to go? And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. What is Jesus expecting? Till his enemies be made his footstool. And we saw here one of the things to do to actualize that. That's why I call the sanitation of the church. One of the expectations of Jesus is what? The sanitation of the church. Sanitation. That the church be purged from sources of unbelief. Imagine, we are seeing a church that we are still singing God of Elijah, send down fire. Imagine. We are seeing in a time where people are told that they are going to hell for putting on shame. No. It's coming for a glorious church. Hallelujah. Praise God. Glorious church, not one spot, not one wrinkle. Not a spot, not a wrinkle. Of course, sins are washed away already by redemption. But yet, Jesus is still expecting. You know, he's not expecting people to be sinless. So. He says he's expecting that his enemies be placed on the footstool. You know, when the Bible says the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death, that means there are other enemies. False doctrine is a key enemy. That means today I'm challenging you, be strong on the word of Christ. Be strong on the gospel of your salvation. Christianity is a dynamic life. You don't keep calm as a Christian. You have colleagues at school. You bring them up in the knowledge of Christ. You have people in your place of work. You don't relax and say, well, I'm at work. We don't talk about Jesus here. No. He said he's expecting till his enemies he made his footstool. And guess what? You know that duty is not on Jesus, it's on you.
Why? You are part of the body of Christ. The head has done his own. Now it's time for us to subdue his enemies. Oh, Valley Castega, the Bible says, who has believed our reports? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? All God have been shouting from ages is who will believe our reports. Katilo, Rastig, Vantito, Zababa. You know, we are seeing a time when people are still bringing rod to church. That is their staff of authority. Come on, in the New Testament, Church of the Risen Christ. And the terrible one, we are seeing a time when somebody will cut bread. Bread that an unbeliever, that a Muslim can prepare. And you will bring it to church. And you will say, this is the body of Jesus. And you will now say, we are the one that is blasphemy. In my church, we use Zobo. We use Tasty Time. We use Aqua. We have used Aqua before. There was a time that someone will say, let's get the original Holy Communion. And say, okay, somebody is coming from Jerusalem next month. So they imported alcoholic drink. They diluted it. They served us wrong. We are taking the blood of Jesus. That ain't a glorious church. No. It's not. Expecting till his enemies be made is false too. Ambassadors for Christ. As God did beseech you by us. Ambassadors. We are stewards of the what? Manifold grace of God. Stewards. Believer, do you please hear me? Jesus will do nothing if you do nothing. All God will do on earth, he will rely upon what we are doing today. What God will do in the next 10 years in Nigeria, in the nations you are going to travel to, will depend on your persuasion to this gospel. See, from a child, you have known the Holy Scriptures, which is able to make you wise unto salvation through faith that is in Christ Jesus. All scriptures are given by the inspiration of God. It is profitable for doctrine. Doctrine. In Christianity, doctrine must not be less important. Me and my wife, we are watching a video about what happened in the Dark Ages. She said, did they actually say this? Why? The church lost doctrine. Aya. Rakiti, let's take advantage. Malio Zapati to Stagepo. Today we are in Abuja, right? We are in Abuja. There are churches, there are believers. Yet there are Muslims. Yet there are several religions: Church of Christ, Church of Satan, Church of anything you call it. But God will do nothing here if you do nothing. When you hear a revival, 1922. In 1922, Azusa Street, William J. Simon, because of a man. See, I just want to challenge you today. It's a man. God was not more real in 1930. God was not more real when Kenneth E. Hagin was born. No, he was not. It's not that God just, it's not that redemption was fulfilled when E.W. Kenyon. When he was born. No. Imagine. This was 2,000 years after the blood has been shed. Yet we are still fighting over what? Things. Why? None stood up. I beg you today. Ministry is yours. This is not what we reject. This is not what we are teeming about. This is not what we use favoritism. Ministry is yours. If you value Christianity, Christianity needs you. Say in that he died for all, that they that live should henceforth not live unto themselves, but for him that died for them and rose again. Thank you, Father. Start praying in tongues. Start praying in tongues. Ministry is yours. It's yours.
Matthew la sabate.
It's yours. It's yours. To bring men out of darkness is your duty. To look at men that has been caged in unbelief and set them free is your duty. To enter dungeons, strongholds of Satan, and set them free is your duty. It's yours. Don't be timid. Don't be timid. Preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Teach, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. 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 Teach, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. Until they hear, until they listen, we keep doing this. Long suffering. Jesus died for sins, that he rose again. All men must hear this. That Jesus died for sins and rose again. All men must hear this, guys. Kenneth E. Agee, he brought back rejoicing the Holy Ghost. What happened to it? Lost for over 1,700 years. If no man arose, nothing will be done. Nothing. Come on, pray with some zeal. If none stood for the truth, we will still be bloody idol worshippers today. If nobody left their comfort zone and came to Africa and engaged the traditional believers and engaged Islam, we see the doom today, doom for hell. Arise for right doctrine. Arise! In that he died for all, that they that live should henceforth not live to themselves, but for him that died for them and rose again, and rose again. Shata palaka talabalaba zate tete. Oh, male male zata. You stay awake all night. All you are praying is that the world we have is free cause. You will discern. You will separate the deceiver from the deceit. You will oppose the deceiver. You will teach the deceit. You will give the deceit sufficient evidence from the word. Sufficient. You will become a walking Bible. You have known the Holy Scriptures. That is able to make wise unto salvation. It is better that the heart be established with grace. After he has told you, don't be carried away with false doctrines. Pray, pray some more. Pray some more, pray some more. Pray some more. Somebody will take a rose of a la da 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 da. Pray some more, pray some more. Ministry is your heritage. You receive it.
ministry is yours. You receive it. Don't forget, if you do nothing, nothing shall be done. Oh, thank you, Father. Pray for 2 more minutes, we'll be done. When you see unbelieving emotion, what do? Then you pick emotion too. You oppose. It doesn't prevail around me. Every man we hear that Jesus died for sins and rose again, and what he has done in redemption is sufficient to save. Every man we hear that what Jesus did in the 3 days and 3 nights is the hallmark. Hallmark of Christianity is our Christianity. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Pastor. Lastly, open 2 Corinthians 5. See it yourself. See it yourself. Take a decision today. Don't be cold. See, this is what I don't want. Don't be a Christian that don't talk. Oh, what did Jesus need? How shall they call on whom they have not believed? How shall they believe on whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear? Without you. Can you see the power of that? That means he's saying everything Jesus has done without you. But you still look like nothing was done. Do you know how many died in the Second World War? All because somebody failed to preach to Adolf Hitler. Abi? What else could have changed him? Minimum of 50 million people died. And do you know what? Do you know God was there? Do you know Jesus is there? And he can't do anything. Why? You didn't do anything. How shall they hear without a preacher? That means for salvation, the link between the cross and the heart of man is you. That means everything can be done, yet all will still go to hell. That is why he told them, now go ye to where? All the world. Preach the gospel to every. So today now, I took it beyond now preaching the gospel that you must not only preach it, you must defend it. When I want to write to you about the common salvation, it was needful for me to earnestly to exhort you therefore. To what? Earnestly contend for the faith. So I said, just 2 Corinthians 5. Let's see this yourself. Verse 15. Let me read 14 for you. Read 15. For the love of Christ constrained us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we are all dead. 15. One to go. Read. And that he died for all, that they which live should henceforth, for he that died for them. Again, 15. And that he died for all, that we that live should not henceforth live unto ourselves, but unto him that died for us. And rose again. Guys, Jesus needs your mouth. Use it, okay? Use it. Preach the word. Defend the faith. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We have been called in this. We have been called for this. Keep playing. Oh, we have been called.
I see men running with their call. We run with our call. We run in the name of Jesus Christ. We are called. We have been anointed. We are declared justified for this purpose, that Jesus will be glorified. Oh, there is a feeling in this air. God is moving everywhere, and His resurrection power is moving right now, that Jesus must be glorified. That redemption must be glorified. God is moving everywhere. He's moving through you. He wants Jesus to be glorified. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father. That Jesus may be glorified. Hallelujah. Praise God. How are you doing today? Have you learned something? Have you learned something? Don't worry, there will still be time for Bible study. I need to teach you for some months before I start giving you time, chance to ask questions. Amen, amen. How was your day? Since I thought I didn't know your name, ma.